So how is he fighting back and forth with the enemy? He's quoting scripture in his fights. That when the enemy comes against you, do you want to overcome him? Do you want to win in those obstacles and those things that get thrown at you? You must know the scripture. You can't be taking pictures of babies. You've got to know the scripture. Yeah, you don't go before that one. Ask what you will in my name and it'll be given to you. But he was talking about certain things. He was talking about things that will help you provide for you to live. Your clothes on your back, food. Ask whatever you want in my name and I'll give it to you. He didn't say anything. It's taken out of context. And Jesus answered, okay. It says, now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. So it says he left him until a later time, which he came back again. Didn't say he left him for good. Even Jesus, when he got tempted, it wasn't over after he won the battle. Like we're talking Sunday, he may have won the battle, but God's going to win the war. Same with the battle of putting him on the cross. He thought he won. He may have won that battle, but he lost that war. Let's go back to Matthew real quick. I want to lead Matthew chapter 4. Verse 11, it says, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So after the devil left, angels came to lift him back up. Angels came to speak words into his life. Angels came to help him get through it. In Luke, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, even through the temptation. So a lot of times you think, well, if he was led by the Spirit, why would he even have been tempted by that? Because where the Spirit doesn't always just lead you to temptation, but he leads you through temptation. That you're going to go through things. And what's great about going through things is when you come out on the other side, you're stronger than you were before. You're stronger than you were before you went through that obstacle, before you went through that. When you go through an obstacle course, when you're practicing and you go through it, after you get through it, the next time it's easier because you became stronger. You've become stronger in what you do. Same way with our spiritual life. Sometimes the Spirit leads us through temptations, which allows us to learn disobedience and makes us stronger. Like I said, not to temptations, but through them. He went into wilderness somewhere by himself. Like I was saying, the wilderness was by himself. No one else around. How much harder it was to resist. We're not tempted by the Holy Spirit, but sometimes brought through places where there's temptation to be proved and disciplined for future work. I was thinking of, I'll tell you the pastor's name, Pastor Eddie Long. I won't even call him pastor. Heathen Eddie Long. How he fell. Sexual sin. I believe it was a little boy. You guys remember it was a little boy? You guys know? I think it was a little boy. Don't quote me. And he had sexual problems. His church of 5,000, 10,000, whatever it is. And afterwards, they brought him before the church. I think I've showed some of you the video. Yeah. They brought him before the church. They put him on a big chair. And they lifted him up. They had their men put him up, put a crown on him. They crowned him king. And they said, if our God would tempt him with something this strong, something above the rest of us, how much holier he must be than us. That we're putting him on holier grounds than us. We're lifting him up higher than us because if God would tempt him with something as a sin of molesting a little boy or whatever it is, then he must be so much greater than us, that his temptations are so much stronger than ours. And they put a crown on his head and they lifted him up. And everybody was cheering, thousands of people, cheering and excited because of how holy he must be. It blows my mind. Why? Why did all these people cheer and shout? Because they have no idea what the word says. God doesn't tempt you. He allows the devil to tempt you. With Job, when things happened to him, God didn't do it. He allowed the devil to do it. God doesn't come, let's see if I can make Mindy fall today. Let's see if I can make Dave cheat on his wife today. Let's see if Kathy will rob a bank today. God doesn't go to Walmart and try to talk some guys into shooting up the place. Payless into robbing a place yesterday. No, that's not God. If they would have known their Bible, they'd know it's not God. They'd know it's the enemy coming against them. Poor Jesus, man. I feel sorry for Judgment Day. I really do. When he's waiting, call his people home and go, where is everybody? How horrible would that be to stand there as Jesus and say, man, I died for all of you. And God, to go, I gave my only son for you so you could be saved, so you could have eternal life. And this is all I got? I think there's going to be a lot of shock people. I really, really do. But all you have to do is just continue to grow closer to God. And you don't have to worry about it. Continue to get closer to him, to build that relationship up with him. Here's the deal. When we sin, we're putting whatever it is before God. Think about that. We're supposed to put God first. If we put God first, we would not sin. 100%. If God was truly 100% first in our lives, before anything else, we obeyed the will of God, we obeyed God, and we continued after him in every area, technically we wouldn't sin. Jesus was the example of putting God first, that he never sinned. But what happens is, when we sin, we're putting whatever it is before God. We're saying, God, this sin that I'm committing is more important than pleasing you. It sounds rough, but it's true. Because if we were only going to please him, we wouldn't sin. But when we sin, we're technically saying, under our breath, we're saying, this sin is more important than pleasing you. It sounds rough, it sounds hard. But if we begin to look at things in this mindset, how much less we'd sin, how much greater things we would do. We're saying, God, you are second, and sin, you are first. So there's something in your life that you need broken. There's something in your life that you continue to sin and to fight with. And Satan keeps tempting you with it, and you keep falling into that temptation. Begin to think that way. Begin to think that you're saying that God, you are second, sin, you're first, that you're putting sin before God. You may still go to church, you may still pray, you may still do all these things, but if you begin to wrap your mind around that, every time you begin to go to that, you'll start thinking, wow, no, God, this isn't more important than pleasing you. God, I'm sorry. No, I want to please you, Lord. I'll stop, Lord. But when you begin to get to the point that you want to please God so greatly, you want to make him happy, those sins begin to start falling off. Things in your life begin to start breaking off. I said, would we really choose things of this world over God? We truly push God aside, and we move our sins before him. That's what happens. That a lot of times it's not presented that way to think, wow, we're saying, okay, I know you died for my sins. Jesus, I know you took my sins on the cross. I know you paid the price. The price wouldn't have been as hard if I would have never sinned. But I'm going to go ahead and sin some more. I'm going to go ahead and continue to live this way. You don't sin by being tempted, as I was saying earlier. You sin by falling into temptation. The word says that even, like I said, if you thought about it, then you sin. Matthew 5, 27 through 28 says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So as we begin to dwell on those things, when you begin to think it, hey, I should do this, or oh, this would be fun, that's when you begin to sin. But Jesus didn't wish to do it. He stayed being led by the Spirit. We begin to sin when we dwell on it. When temptation came to him, he casted the devil away. Think about something in your life that you struggle with. If you'd begin to say, Satan, get thee behind me. Get behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me. You're at work. The boss tells you to do something you know is not right. You may get fired over that one. Get thee behind me, Satan. Maybe say it in your head. But begin to put God first. He had to be tempted because he was the Savior of sinners. If he was never tempted with anything, think about it. How much easier it would be. Said Jesus didn't wish to do it. He stayed being led by the Spirit. We begin to sin when we dwell on it. When temptation came to him, he cast the devil away. He had to be tempted as he was the Savior of our sins. He followed where he was called to go. And the greatest temptations came before him. When you do God's will, he will try to stop it. What was he trying to do? What was Jesus trying to do? He was trying to do God's will. Satan came in and did everything he possibly could to try to stop God's will for his life. That's what happens. And I'm telling you today, as you begin to grow closer to God, as you begin to grow in your relationship with him, as you begin to walk out that will he has for your life, Satan will try to tempt you. He will try to do everything in his power to make you fall. He will. He'll try and try, just as he did Jesus. Let's see if I can get him before he gets to the cross. Let's see if I can get him before he gets there. If I can get him to fall now, it's all over. It's all over. But that's what he tries to do. He tries to stop you from doing God's will. Ephesians 6, 16 through 17 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So it says, taking the shield of faith, having faith, you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, things that he tries to throw at you. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is how he defeated Satan. That he took the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When he went against the enemy, he took the word of God and defeated him with it. He defeated him with it with what he knew of the word. When you resist the devil, I said earlier, angels are there to strengthen you. So begin to resist. Begin to use the word of God as a sword. Defeat Satan with scripture. When you resist the devil, angels will be there to strengthen you. But as we talked about in Matthew 4, 11, was how the angels came to minister to him. That he used scripture to defeat the enemy. And he stood with faith. I leave you with that. Begin to grow your faith. Begin to resist the devil. Begin to use scripture to fight him off. Say, get thee behind me, Satan. And then remember, when you do, the angels are there to lift you up.
We hope you've enjoyed the message today from Redemption Church. For a copy of today's program or to partner with us, please visit us at www.redemptionchurchstl.com.